Welcome to Road Trip Radio, the food, travel, and adventure show that's all about making the most of every moment. It's a fun-filled journey where you'll be introduced to amazing people, learn about interesting places, experience incredible food, and dare to take on new challenges. So fasten your seatbelts, turn up the volume, set your phone to speed dial, and get ready for a half hour of lighthearted enlightenment with your Road Trip Radio hosts, Rick Griffin and Sandy McKenna.
Hey, y'all, welcome to Road Trip Radio. A while back, Sandy and I took a trip to the place where bourbon is born, Claremont, Kentucky. It was in honor of Jim Beam's 150th birthday. We got to visit the Jim Beam distillery and warehouses, and we got an up-close look and taste of the bourbon-making process. One of the highlights of the trip was meeting and interviewing Jim Beam Noe, the great-grandson of Jim Beam. So for today's show, we thought we'd play that interview. Now, the still house where we recorded the interview was a little noisy, so our audio quality is a little rough at times. But if you pour yourself a tall glass of bourbon, plop yourself down in a rocking chair, give it a listen, you're going to want to hit the bourbon trail and pay tribute to Jim Beam yourself.
I'm Jim Beam Noe, and I'm a great-grandson of Jim Beam. I'm Fred's little cousin, they refer to me around here. He's out in the world winning friends and influencing people one drink at a time. I stay here and make whiskey.
So I guess that's a very popular name to have around here.
it is, yes.
So being Jim Beam's grandson, you've got bourbon in your blood.
I have for 200 and some odd years.
Yeah, and as of this morning, I do too.
That's just right.
Tell us a little bit about...
How long has this facility been here, and how long have you guys been operating?
Well, here at Claremont, this is the plant that Jim Beam reopened right after Prohibition. He bought the place in 1920. Didn't have a clue that bad law was going to last so long, but it wasn't until 1935 he was able to reopen. But the day Prohibition went out, he went downtown, got his license back, brought his boys in, set them up making whiskey again. We've been here ever since.
And I've never had a bourbon before I came here. And I'm late to the game. I can check it. Not only can I say I had a bourbon, but I can check off, on my bucket list that I had bourbon with Jim Beam's grandson.
Awesome. Yes.
Grandson. So that's kind of exciting.
Well, thank you for coming and joining us
today.
Well,
thank you. And the tour we took was really interesting. Not only was it tasty, but we learned a lot about the history of Jim Beam.
Yes.
So can you elaborate a little on that for us?
Sure. Well, this site, as I said, since Prohibition, 1935, we've been making Jim Beam here at this site. And it's got really good water. It's got the Kentucky limestone. And we've made 13 million barrels since we started here. So, there's a lot of bourbons come through this place.
Now, you're on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail.
Yes, we're one of the major stops on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, closest to Louisville. A lot of folks come join us and then head on over towards Bardstown, where they'll visit Maker's Mark and some of the other places on the trail. It's a great thing Kentucky has, this Kentucky Bourbon Trail.
I noticed when we were on the tour that it's not just Jim Beam. I mean, you are a family of bourbons.
That's right.
What are some of the other...
Well, the Jim Beam franchise, of course, there's Jim Beam White, Jim Beam Black Label, and then we have what we call the flavor variants, the Red Stags and the Jim Beam Maples and things. Those are recent innovations that we've discovered that people really like to have the melding of the bourbon flavors with other things, like maple. Can you imagine that? breakfast with bourbon. Well, that's what pancakes and Jim Beam maple are like.
Well, and speaking of, one of the things that our viewers always ask us about is the food that we've had. And we just had some really, really good barbecue.
That Fred Smokehouse.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how Jim Beam is now integrated into a lot of food.
Well, a lot of meats and sauces are the main place where bourbon plays well. Of course, bourbon has got a really strong, bold flavor. So it really works well with meats. Games, and of course, then there's the flavorful desserts like creme brulee. Switch it around a little bit with a little bourbon sauce. Of course, bread pudding is always a good one. You can't go wrong. Start your meal with the bourbon and end it with another one.
So breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Actually, you can have bourbon.
works for me.
Now, do you pair bourbons with different foods, just like people do with wines? And
you're talking real
strong. Just eat what you want, right?
Yeah, I go for the barbecue and the pork tenderloins and the bourbon. You know, all these new things that we've got in bourbons now. You know, it boggles my mind. I have to pace myself through. we were talking about the bourbons that Beam makes. We also have the small batch bourbons, which is they're higher age, little older, a little higher proof, but they have names like Booker's, Baker's, Basil Hayden, and then there's Knob Creek. These all have they kind of refer back to the distillers of our past. You know, our master distillers. These were kind of their favorite brands. We sell them in small quantities. And in most recent innovations, we've done some flavors, and then this year we're starting into something called the Signature Craft, which is some smaller quantities with some different grains that we've experimented with, say in the recent past. For bourbon, that's 8 or 10 years ago, but we've created some new expressions of bourbons, and they're starting to be released as the Signature Craft. I think people really like them.
Oh, I know. We got to taste something right out of the barrel, which I've never done before.
Yeah.
That was a good experience.
You know, you can take those barrels home if you want to.
Oh, wow. I don't know if it'll fit in the overhead bin of my airplane. I would love to.
No, the single barrel variants of any of those brands, they're becoming more and more popular. And we have set ourselves up to where we can host folks that want to come down and select, you know, sample individual barrels, and if they're love it enough, they can have that whole barrel.
Wow.
The acreage that you have here, you're in a magnificent, a really beautiful setting.
Yes, it is.
So tell us a little bit about the area and the setting.
Okay.
Here.
Well, we're located in Claremont, Kentucky, and back in the old days, before there were roads, there was just a railroad that came through, and Claremont was a community like a lot of little country towns had their little church and their several houses, the barrel maker, and their distillery. Through the years, Jim Beam has expanded and grown up until we've pretty much absorbed all of Claremont now. What's left here now is the distillery and the church.
Now, how old were you when you started in the bourbon business? I know you were born into it, but I mean, when you started working.
Right. Well, I came to see my Uncle Booker when I got out of college. And then I chose to go away and work someplace else, but it drew me back. In 1995, the 200th anniversary, they told me I had to come back, so I've been here since then.
Oh, that's your Uncle Booker statue that's out in front of the...
Uncle Booker's in the rocking chair on top of the hill, and Jim Beam's in the front of the still house.
We got a picture of him in the rocking chair up there.
Yeah.
You know, you're part of the bourbon trail, and a lot of people fly into Louisville, and they'll begin here. What if somebody's never been to Louisville before? What are some things you would recommend they check out?
Jim Beam and Claremont.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah. No, there's Louisville's doing a lot. They believe in bourbon, and they're cultivating something that they call the Urban Bourbon Trail, which is a companion to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, but it has to do with the bourbon restaurants in Louisville. So that's a really neat thing to do for somebody coming to Kentucky. Yeah, be sure to have dinner at one of the fine places in Louisville.
Now, I was really impressed with your tasting room and the way you're able to put the little card in there and sample.
Well, thanks.
Do it several different kinds. I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's pretty unique. I don't think anyone else has done that in the bourbon world, but it works very well with the varieties of tasting sample, tasting opportunities that we have.
Now, do you have, are there tasting rooms around town anywhere else, or do they need to come here to really get that experience?
They have to come to Claremont to taste our bourbon.
Okay. Or buy it at the store, right.
Oh, well, yeah. But you miss the chance to be here with us.
Yeah, this is an incredible opportunity.
Now, we learned something about bourbon is America's
native spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, that was law passed, I believe it was 1964.
So bourbon can only be made in America?
Bourbon is America's native spirit, can only be made in America. 95% of it is made right here in Kentucky.
Wow. That's awesome.
We think so.
Now, what's going to keep the French from trying to make some bourbon or something over there?
Well, they have their cognac, they have their wines, and they have our barrels, which we use once and then send to them to help to
craft secondhand stuff, right?
Well, I mean, we like to say that there wouldn't be a lot of the other fine spirits in the world if it weren't for bourbon first.
Yeah. And I love learning on the tour that it's because of the limestone that the filters the iron out of the water, which makes Kentucky such a
water's,
great place.
Water is one of the key ingredients of making good bourbon, and this part of Kentucky's got it in spades.
Now, what kind of advice can you give to somebody like me who's new to drinking bourbon? Well, 24 hours.
Yeah.
So is there an art to drinking it, to experiencing it?
Bourbon can be overwhelming if you don't approach it with the appropriate attitude. You know, you have to, if it's your first attempt, you have to approach it gently, slowly. You start with the nose, then small sips, and savor.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And what gives it the different flavors? Is it the char of the barrels? Is it how long you... ferments?
Well, there's a lot of factors that go in. Of course, the grains have the beginning flavors, and then the time spent in barrels contributes the smoky and the oaky and the vanilla to the flavor profile. Of course, how long it spends in that barrel makes a lot of difference, and then what we do to it after we bring it out of the barrel influences it. So there's just a little bit of corn, rye, and malt thrown into a barrel for a few years, it's remarkable the variety that we can get.
It really is.
Do you have a favorite?
Beans.
Whatever's in his hand, right?
Yes.
Tell me, what has made bourbon so popular in the last decade?
In the last decade, baby boomers are done, but you've got the next groups that are coming.
We're baby boomers. I don't want to hear we're done.
Well, sorry. Me too. But the baby boomers are done, and the next generations are coming in, and they're now moving up in their tastes, and they're looking for something more than the beers and the box wines that they grew up with. So they reached out and discovered bourbon, and it's just been a hidden gem for all these years. And the more they discover it, the more they share it. And things like the Bourbon Trail is a destination where people can come and experience the process. It just, it's reached critical mass, and it just keeps on growing.
Now, can people purchase something here and send it back home?
They can purchase it here. We don't ship from here,
okay.
But they can purchase it here and take it with them.
Now, on the Bourbon Trail, are there like guided tours or buses? I mean, because you don't necessarily want people driving all over Kentucky having sample bourbon all day.
Well, yeah, that happens.
I'm sure.
Yeah, there are a number of good quality tour operators that operate out of Louisville or Lexington, and they have packages that they put together to go to places like Jim Beam and Maker's Mark and some of the other producers along. It's a great way to spend a day or a week if you got the time.
Yeah. Jim, awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's my
pleasure.
This has
been incredible.
Yes, well, I enjoy talking about it.
Cheers.
Showing it off. And you guys, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Well, you don't want to be a cougar, and you don't want to be a fool. Cause the kids are grown and you need to get out, so you need to break all the rules, go on a midlife road trip.